Before we begin, please extinguish all of your electronic devices.
Well, welcome and good morning, everyone. Do you hear me clearly? How's that? Did you turn this on yet?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists in Philadelphia. And of course, our purpose is to spread, broadcast the teachings of Theosophy as recorded in the writings of H.P. Blavatsky and William Q. Judge. And let it be known initially that the policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of Theosophy, without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the Theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave at the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is a dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of Theosophy and the exemplification and practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among Theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching. And therefore, has neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers. The sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among Theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as Theosophists all who are engaged in the true service of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves by studying otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. Therefore, the true Theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. If this is your first visit, we invite you to pick up one of these wonderful little pamphlets. It has our scheduling in it. As you notice, we started promptly at 11 and will be done at noon on Sundays. And of course, the doors opened at 10:30. On Wednesday, we have a study class from 7:30 to 8:30, and at the present time, it's in the Ocean of Theosophy by William Q. Judge. Everyone is invited. Also on Wednesday, from 5:15 to 7:15, there's a library called the Theosophical Reference Library for free use. In any case, there's always a volunteer present to help to introduce you to the literature and the programming of the lodge. Also, we'd just like to know, at the bottom, it says something about having sympathy with the purposes of this lodge. I hereby record my desire to be enrolled as an associate. It being understood that such association calls for no obligation on my part other than that which I myself determine. As is our custom, this is an introduction to today's topic. It's taken from The Secret Doctrine by H.P.B. Such is the course of nature under the sway of karmic law, of the ever-present and the ever-becoming nature. Or in the words of a sage known only to a few occultists, the present is the child of the past, the future the begotten of the present. And yet, O present moment, knowest thou not that thou hast no parent, nor canst thou have a child, that thou art ever begetting but thyself. Before thou hast even begun to say, I am the progeny of the departed moment, the child of the past, thou hast become the past itself. Before thou utterest the last syllable, behold, thou art no more the present, but verily that future. Thus are the past, the present, and the future, the ever-living trinity in one, the Mahamaya of the absolute is.
The absolute is. What is our relevance to our studies this morning? That the truth is what we have been is what we are. And the truth must be understood. The universal expression of our existence is found in every culture of the world. And that of South America is no different. For in that country, we, in the present day, are in wonder of those great temples or great mounds that populate the lands of Mexico and South America, but also in the Americas and North America. Where does this come from? Where are those people now? Why don't we know anything about them? Why is it such a mystery in this present day and age? When Cortez first came to South America, he was mistaken for the coming again of their great hero, Quetzalcoatl. And with the presence of an animal which they had never seen before, with such strength and power as the horse, they were completely enamored of these Spaniards. But these expeditioners were working for the church, and they came upon a vast civilization that was far beyond, more civilized than where they were coming from. Whether it's love and compassion, understanding of life and the sacredness of all of life. So lo and behold, the messages that returned to Europe were of the gold and the riches, but nothing of the culture per se, because these religious beliefs that they held were universal. And the church had been fighting against these ideas from the very beginning. So that is one reason why this has really been such a mystery to the West. But now in the last 200 years, You know, and even more so now, there are many people that have visited these great cities in the South. And there's those that have even witnessed those great dolmens, or great, they're called burial grounds of the giants that are found in Bolivia and Peru, Chichen Itza. So how could these people that we see there now do any of this? How could they? Well, let's go back for a second and look at this more universally. That the sevening of the universe is found throughout the philosophy. And it said that this continent that we live on is the fifth continent. Atlantis was the fourth. Lemuria was the third. And that these continents, it states that the Atlantean continent was the fourth, but the third to be destroyed. So we see a movement in the earth, but everything is in a state of change. So in this theosophical understanding of what happens to the earth, since Atlantis has sunk, where did those inhabitants that still survived go? They went east and they went west. And what we see all over the world are remnants of this fourth continent, of these fourth race people, the Atlanteans, who were giant in size, but also in intellectual. An intellectual capacity, but also an evil. And it was said that when Atlantis was destroyed, the evil sorcerers were destroyed with it. And we find throughout the world, in every continent, these standing stones, these arrangements of stones like in Karnak, 11 rows, of seven, of standing stones, Stonehenge in Europe. They're found in every continent, remnants of this giant race. And these were these beings that had passed over. But when they died off, and they no longer exist. But man's stature was, we were all that. That was our stature. And it has shrunk in our evolutionary process, 15 feet, 12 feet. Now it's six feet, 7 feet. And along with this race of giants were the race of dwarfs. So we see a whole long process of evolution. Now when these giant races came to us, they peopled South America and North America. And we find that in Bolivia and Peru in particular, we find ancient cities that there is no longer an explanation of why they exist. But what does exist are the legends and myths of those civilizations that presently are. And in those legends and myths, is the evolution of humanity, of mankind. And they all start with, we all have descended from the gods. We have manifested from divinity. And taken or have become these bodies that have been created. It says that there were many attempts at the making of this form. The first was of clay. You know, and it goes, the myth goes on and on about the different materials used to construct this form. And in these instructions, which were given out by these gods that descended upon the earth to teach the people how to live in harmony, how to harvest, how to plant, how to exist. And these gods, I'm sure we've all heard of the great serpent, feathered serpent, Quetzalcoatl. Now he is found in the Aztec mythology, but he's also been known to exist thousands and thousands of years before this civilization existed. The serpent has always been a sign of wisdom, of strength, of fohat. And the feathered serpent is one of beauty and wisdom. And it said that the first enlightened being, they called him Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent. And there have been many other initiates that who lived among the people that have been called Quetzalcoatl. You look back and, well, how did this idea become alive, but especially in the West? Well, there's a legend that at the time of King Solomon in the Bible, there's record of a serpent from the West, from Americas, who visited King Solomon, and it was in his court. And there's a legend that is known in South America that there was Votan who had gone to the Mediterranean, and that how the land was different, and that this passage with great difficulty was made. And when asked by King Solomon, well, how did you get here? Tell me. And he would not divulge that secret. So these Quetzalcoatl were magicians or enlightened beings who passed on their knowledge, very much like Prometheus. Gave light to man and understanding and life. You know, and the stories of these gods coming forth and inhabiting this material plane, it said that Quetzalcoatl lives or keeps the heavens from falling on the earth. So this idea that this electrifying, energizing, magical force exists in the universe, or in our universe. We know, we've heard of the Naga, or the Narjal, those serpent priests that kept the mysteries from the profane. Things that were secret and with the reality of giving up one's life by divulging it, these secrets became a passage or a rite of initiation. Now this Quetzalcoatl, in creating, he created man. It's said that he went into the underworld and took the bones of his ancestors and with them peopled the earth. Another legend goes, there was a great flood and all, and what had happened was that Mother Earth created the earth and all the inhabitants lived happily on it until they became greedy and selfish and evil. And the Great Mother sent a flood and killed all but two. And they were told just to bring one ear of corn. Those that were saved, which were the only two, the rest were turned into fish. And they live so today. So the legend goes. There's, even in the Mayan mythology, there is the same flood that destroyed mankind. But in the Inca, there was their divine, the divine being was represented as the sun, Inti. And the sun was the great god. And the sun brought forth other children. And there have one legend of Manco Capa, who, as the legend goes, there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And what arose within the darkness was the sun. And the sun came forth and brought light. But there were no stars in the sky. So they created stars. And it goes on. And man was created. And from man, Manco Capa is represented as a great magician. And he was given a golden rod by the sun, sun god, and said to go and dwell in that land where this golden rod can be placed into the earth with ease. And he traveled throughout Peru, and he finally came to the Cusco Valley, and in there he put the rod into the earth and it sunk completely into it. And these rituals are still played out today in these countries. And upon that place, Cusco is built. There's a north and there's a south. Male and female aspect is understood. But there's, it is always pointing to man, as we are the Quetzalcoatls. We are those beings of light. That these powers are manifest within us. There are so many similarities between the cultures of the Mayan and the Aztec civilization, the Incas, the ancient civilizations, the heroes that protected them and guided them and gave them knowledge. The studies that another aspect of Quetzalcoatl is that he's dual. He's like a mirror. And therefore, Venus is associated with Quetzalcoatl. Comparisons are made between cultures, the similarities. A study would show that the Mexican culture is pretty much like the Phoenician culture, as Peruvian is Babylonian, as American is Egyptian. We see the similarities, the oneness in the diversity. Theosophy keeps on bringing us back to the fact of our origin, our slowly emergence, but being of the origin of spirit. This is where we have come from. We have not evolved from the minutest creature on the earth. Our forms may have, but we have not. We are the great serpent. And the ever-present is what relationship does this have to us now? Well, we have to discern that for ourselves. What is it that we need to learn or need to understand about ourselves where we can be as that feathered serpent, wise and beautiful? The one thing that these ancient civilizations, the Christian nation said worshipped, but no, they adored, they respected, they were in awe of all of the animal kingdom. These were created by the gods. They were godlike in their nature as well. The jaguar, all these animals were imbued with powers. But the powers were their essential natures. To know what someone's essential nature is a gift of higher understanding. The Popol Vuh is a manuscript that tells of all this, these universal origins of all of life. Even though we don't know very much about South America and their cultures and their religions, we think that the names that they gave their cities and some of their deities was to show the West that they have to change their mind a little bit to be able to pronounce them. And it does take a new stance or new ability when you look at them, because you're using parts of your vocal cords that you do not use that often. That this idea of a great civilization, much higher in understanding than our present one. Now, the Aztecs had many myths. The myth that most have heard is when Mother Earth, peopled this planet, and people were happy and living freely together, and then they became selfish in the flood. And then it was repeopled. That we're forgetting what we're talking about, because it's all the same thing. We'll stop here, because there's so much that we want to tell you that I feel like a school teacher. I can't really tell you anything. I can only appreciably spark your interest into a study of your own, because it is quite fascinating how little we know, but how much we understand of this ancient culture. It's just that we have not taken the time to assimilate it into our own consciousness, because we feel in the West that the church had blocked that. But now we are exploring the world, and we are seeing that these great places exist. Angkor Wat, Stonehenge, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Karna, it just goes on. We have friends that have traveled throughout Europe and England, and come upon these standing stones that are magnetic attractions, or are a designation of a vortex of the meridians on the planet. So if you have any questions, we'll entertain them.
Well, we wondered if there are South Americans who are, I don't know, holding on to some of these ideas or looking into some of the ancient things. We hope there are.
Well, it's very interesting, because it exists to this day, secretly. It's said that in the Cordillera Mountains in southern Andes, it's very isolated, and there are tribes that are still practicing the customs from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. That they say that to this day there are tunnels, subterranean passageways that exists from Lima to Cusco. And there's stories of in other locations or other centers where such subterranean tunnels exist. In fact, H.E.B. talks of going to one of these places. So these subterranean passages were called snake holes, because this is where the adepts kept the records, kept the sanctuary alive, and protected from the profane. Yes?
We know that there are new technologies now that are actually able to see below the forests and plains and whatnot, that they're finding other pyramids in Mexico and South America. And we just wonder then, and especially when we think about Machu Picchu, was it the elder brothers that built these things, or because they don't really know how the people could have built them?
Well, we have to not limit the people of the past to the same capacities that we have. That they had adept rulers, these ancient cultures, that the science of architecture was understood, the laws of proportion. You know, we see these gigantic stones put in place without mortar, and they are sealed. So there was a knowledge far beyond what we understand today. So this, does that answer that question? That's your only question you're allowed. In the back.
In the Gita, there's a passage where Krishna is speaking about needing to hide his true self at this plane in order to protect those souls that are in evolution. Is that a hint also about why the adepts or the great ones of South America would not be out and about and in public?
It would be the same understanding that we would have for the gods or the adepts of India. They are no different. It's the same lodge. It's the same brotherhood. And they are connected or communicating with each other, and they're all over the world. There are just certain communities where they can thrive, where they are left alone, where they are isolated. You know, so if we use our logic and understanding, we can see that some of these forests of South America are really unexplored by the Western man. There are peoples that live there that understand and as was asked before, still practice this ancient religion of worshiping the sun, of reincarnation, of the all of life is sacred. And they do it. It said that there are places that are hidden and in darkness where only a few know to go. And only a few know exists. But it still exists. And it is this ancient wisdom religion. This is what connects all of it. We are given the gift of understanding it in English, so our minds can somewhat comprehend the magnitude of this existence, the evolutionary process that is going on, and how it's being guided by intelligent forces that manifest themselves from time to time, as Buddha did, as Jesus did, as Krishna did, as Quetzalcoatl did, Manco Kappa did. Manifestations to guide humanity. Nirmanakaya. So these ideas are represented in the Voice of the Silence, in the Bhagavad Gita, but it could be just as well a Mayan or Inca manuscript. And right here?
Speaking of
perhaps, you know, the study of what's going on in ancient America is the perfect example to a student of theosophy of how really unimportant it is to know what their names were, when they lived, how old they were, what their families were, all this kind of stuff. So these great beings, we can look down in South America and there's all of those unexplainable lines that go through the forests where if you look at them from a plane, you realize it's in the shape of an ant or, you know, or it's a landing, it looks like a landing place. You can look at that and know that it's been there. We can look at Machu Picchu, we don't know who built it or how long it was, maybe we do know who built it, we don't know. But one thing that's interesting, and we think it's Machu Picchu, it's one of them down in South America, is that twice a year when the sun's in the right position, the shadows going up the steps of this pyramid are amazing because it forms the body and head of a serpent. And so knowing the universal symbol of this, the symbolism of the serpent, really it doesn't matter when, where, or who it was. But fortunately we have the teachings that were preserved in India and the Far East, and studying those teachings, we can use what's going on in South America as a validation of them.
Well, we cannot separate ourselves from what happened in South America. It was us.
Well, sure,
it was.
But,
it was.
But we don't need to know the particulars to know that it's true.
What we have to do is understand what's being said. And that understanding verifies for us another understanding that we may have. And that understanding is that we are all one. And there is a universal understanding of the existence for everything. And as said, you know, the technology, the satellites, the imagery, they're finding hundreds and hundreds of more temple settings or more cities within the jungle. But they're even finding more pyramids in Egypt. And they're finding more cities buried beneath the sand. There is this ancient past, which we have all been a part of, which we have forgotten. We have no record of. But we have these structures all throughout Peru that even the Incas don't know where, you know, who they were. So this process that we are going through of assimilating all these different cultures and understandings into one coherent expression. And that's theosophy. Yes.
Well, the most interesting thing is that the last quarter of the 19th century, let's say beginning in 1849 with the gold rush in Alaska, and the bankruptcy of Spain, because the ancients had their last moment of revenge. The conquistadors thought they had gold. They only had what was worth half the gold that you got from the last. They went bankrupt, Spain, in the Spanish-American War. But we have to go to the secret doctrine. And there we'll get a time scale, which now science matches, and they know what happened when the conquistadors simply erased what we have in the secret doctrine, and therefore the public remain ignorant of the fact. But today in modern education, it's been proven that the Spaniards destroyed much of their civilization. It's a long topic. We couldn't possibly cover
minutes. Well, we see the karma of nations. We see the karma of nations, that the brutality and the disregard for a people that were not Christian, so therefore they were not human completely. It's very ironic because Quetzalcoatl is looked up as a deity, and that there are other manifestations of him. But it's rather, I think, suspicious when we have the Mormons are equating Quetzalcoatl to Jesus Christ. So there's always that conflict going on between this ancient religion and the subversion by popular religion that uses its power to control. Yes.
The European Christians, when they started receiving the information about the civilizations in South America, declared that it was the work of the devil.
Yes.
To test our faith. In ancient times, the devil set out all these things just to irritate us. But mentioning of the Gita reminds me that it was said that Arjuna went to South America to find a bride.
Yes. It is said that he, in parts of Peru, that the Buddhist migrated there in great numbers long before Columbus. There's myths and stories of the Vikings traveling to America.
We think an important thing for our time and our civilization is to give back respect to Central America, South America.
Right.
We look down on these people as though they're ignorant and not equal to us. And we think we can't have a kind of balance until we realize their worth.
Well, until we respect them. And it's really respect all of life. We've come to that point that we are like those spoiled children. We are not respecting life, and we will be cast off. You know, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So these thoughts, even though they are not always what we want, have power because we find ourselves falling into the patterns or thoughts of the society and world we live in. And the world is materialistic and selfish. And that's our constant battle. We live in that world where that exists. So not to become that, as you need to find Ishwara or Quetzalcoatl and use that power to manifest something better in the universe. That's how it happens, by the thoughts, words, and deeds of these tiny little creatures. Maybe we're insignificant, but we are creators, good, bad, or indifferent. And we do that in the moment, not in the past, not in the future. We do it now by how we think, speak, and act. We are the creators. These minds are generators of force. We're shooting out energy with our thoughts. The more universal our thoughts are, the more inclusive rather than exclusive, the more energy we build, because it attaches to the same ideas and forces of others that are not selfish. So, this idea that every civilization in the world has that impetus for perfectibility, and we are guided and helped by higher beings. We are assisted. You know, the materialists see spacemen, Anunnaki, see other things outside of ourselves. But what it is the very teachings of theosophy. These are gods that has descended upon the earth. But they are responsible for the earth. They are working with the earth. And they're working within our solar system.
We think in many cases the South Americans are more naturally psychic or responsive to a spiritual idea. And we met a woman from Brazil who had that kind of tendency, and she was called upon by doctors to go to the hospital when people could not be given medication for sleep. She would sit down at their bed and put them to sleep instantly. And she never charged anyone for anything. And we talked to her about it. And she said, no, most of our people are like that.
Yeah.
We can do things that come from the divine.
Well, it's rather ironic that you would say that, because we have met South American people, women especially, that are very, very sensitive. Sensitive beyond which normally you would perceive. And they have sort of a knowingness about your health and your presence. So, yes, that they are naturally more sensitive, I think. And we find that, you know, the governments of South America, left to themselves, develop in a lot different way than interference by other countries. And that we see in Bolivia, where there has been this movement of a people to govern themselves once more. And it's just very interesting. Paraguay, Uruguay, you don't hear about these countries. But they are deep within the Incan culture. So the dolmens, they're called, but these standing rocks are found in Peru and in Bolivia. So, these are awe-inspiring. You know, they are so large and so carved out with inscriptions on them. We found very interesting that in all religions, the annated cross, or the swastika, is found in every religion. It's found all over the world. But our aversion to it is only within this century, or is it within this lifetime, where it has been degraded and inverted, more or less to say. So that it's only a warning to us how these teachings can be turned toward evil uses without the right motive, without the right intention. So that's why we are asked or told to respect these ideas and don't use them for a selfish purpose. For that leads down the wrong path to self-destruction.
And of course, naturally, our children today in their classrooms have heard about the shifting of continents and the discovery of huge mountains, miles and miles under the ocean, specifically in the Pacific. And today, since World War II, and the flowing into this country of many people from the Far East, and their relationship to the South Americans becomes a fact. So as we stated, in one meeting we couldn't begin to cover when HPB and Theosophy brought to us in the last half and quarter of the 19th century. And that the idea here is that it's a moral and ethical issue on how to behave ourselves because those catastrophes can be blamed on how human beings conducted themselves. So there, in truth, is a spiritual aspect of, and a purpose of human beings on this small earth.
Well, that being said, we have no idea of our potential and our potency, for we are divine beings. So our potential is anything that we can imagine, anything that our mind can conceive of, can manifest. And if you are a magician, you know this is true. But only saying that facetiously, because we are all magicians, because we make things manifest in our life by our desire. So, yes.
And don't forget, the Spaniards persecuted the Filipinos, had their conquest in the Pacific Ocean. And after World War II, many of those people came here to America. If you knew any of them at all, you would get information that fits in almost perfectly with this subject we're talking about today, impossible to cover.
As the Americas were so savagely conquered, so we have been doing this, and civilizations have been doing it, and that's what we do. We exploit humanity. Yes.
Isn't there a lodge in Mexico today?
Yeah, I think there is.
So these ideas are there.
Yes, I think what this class is we're talking about is that they are there.
There's two.
Two. Mexico City and Guadalajara. Yeah, it's just a, you know, the real centers of these ancient cultures were in southern Mexico, the Yucatan, and in Central America into South America, but Peru and Bolivia along that coast. We find still to this day these ancient cultures or ancient ideas still in use. The worship of the sun, there's your first indication. Who would worship the sun? Are you that primitive or that evolved to understand that is the giver of life and everything that is understood that surrounds that idea that we are that sun, we are that giver of life. So these ideas are still very prevalent. It's just that, again, like everything else in our world, has been clouded up and, you know, misconstrued, changed to suit a commercial need, probably.
How about lied?
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, we stole land from Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the fighting against the Mexicans challenging that, we turned that into a heroic moment for us.
Yeah.
And it's all based on lies.
Yeah. Well, I think there's we become dumbfounded at the amount of lies that are perpetrated for whatever reason, oftentimes it's for the betterment of humanity. So that's why they need to sacrifice now, so that the future will be better. Well, the future is now. Mm-hmm. And it's how we act now that's important. How we think now is important. What we say now is important. We hope if you found these ideas inquisitive and making you want to think about this subject, we've achieved our purpose. That all these ideas that are propagated at this lodge are given freely to the public. When we don't impose anything upon anyone who comes in here. But all and everyone are given the opportunity to contribute to what we do here. Of course, you can do it with money. Money is something that we need to keep this world going around. But even more importantly, by contributing your time and your energy to the programs that we present to the public. What is being done by this student today, you're all encouraged to do the same, to help in whatever way you see fit. And what we are giving you is just an opportunity. Meeting adjourned.